All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Today is Thursday, 6th of June 2019, and it's a huge day because it is the release nationwide of As It Was, the new film about Liam Gallagher, directed by Charlie Lightning and Gavin Fitzgerald. And I'm really, really pleased to be talking to Charlie a bit later on today. And so we'll be hearing that, and then I'm going to get this up and out to you straight away because I really want you guys to hear that and before you go and see the film. So yeah, definitely make sure you go and see it. It really is worth seeing. I've managed to get hold of a screener copy, which I was very fortunate, very, very pleased to be able to do. And thank you to DDA PR and Altitude Films for getting that over to me. As I talk about with Charlie, I absolutely loved it. I think it's great, great piece of work. And yeah, and we get into it with Charlie. So anyway, I'm just going to... So this episode, all it is really is that quick interview with Charlie, and I want to get it up and out to you. We will be back with more cinema related stuff very soon because I spoke to Alan McGee yesterday, and we're talking to him about creation stories, so we're in a bit of a film tip at the moment. But anyway, enough from me for now. Let's get straight on with Charlie, and then I'll see you on the other side. Right, so welcome to the Oasis Podcast, Charlie Lightning. How the hell are you, man?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, good.
Good.
You said excited.
Yeah, today's the big day.
It is indeed.
So, so it's basically the premiere tonight of As It Was.
Yeah.
And we're going to get this out in time to get it out to people and try and, like, you know, tell them, look, as I say, I was very lucky. I got sent the screener of this thing, and... You've got to see it in the cinema, right? You've got to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, and also, if this is out, going out today before, I think it's on at cinemas tonight at 7 or 7.30.
Yeah.
Is that you have to go and see it tonight. I mean, it's on tomorrow as well, and if you can't catch it tonight, catch it tomorrow. But tonight, at the end of it, there'll be a special live performance that is going to be beamed live from the premiere of Liam singing... Doing a few songs, and I just think to go to the cinema, watch the film, and then see him live is just going to be a real moment, you know.
I know, absolutely. And even just the you know, just to have the sound, you know, to be able to hear, you know, those songs, like the As You Were songs played, you know, just through a really good cinema. So I'd say get to the best cinema you can, whether you've got like a Curzon or something like that. I know Curzon are running a few of these around the country.
Everyman cinema is a Curzon. The views, I mean, it's in everything. It's unbelievable how much cinema.
Yeah. So you've got to get out there and see this thing because...
You haven't got no education.
Absolutely, get out there. So, I mean, taking it back, I know you were mates with them originally through Kasabian, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I was doing... I've been working with Kasabian on their first album and became really good friends with them, and they supported Oasis in America on that stadium tour, and they got to know him really well, became friends with him, and I was making the documentary about Empire, Kasabian's second record, and they came down at the studio to listen to it, and I, you know, obviously I was like, wow, you know, Liam and Noel are coming amazing, you know what I mean? And I remember they come down Kasabian weren't ready to play their record, so we had to go to the pub.
Right.
And it ended up with me sitting with Noel, and just amazing, do you know what I mean? To be able to, I'm sat in the pub.
Yeah.
With Oasis, you know, and Liam's across the table, and had a few beers, and then we go back to the studio, listen to the record, and it turns into a bit of a night, and it ended up with me, Tom, and Serge back at Liam's house in his kitchen.
Wow.
And Liam playing us like songs that weren't on the Oasis record and stuff, sort of his sort of, I guess he's sort of, he's the ones he'd done, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I can't remember what they were, but I remember thinking, wow, you know, these are cool, I like these, do you know what I mean? And,
sure.
And I guess that was the beginnings of what would it all become.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And were you a big Oasis fan growing up?
Oh, massive, huge fan, do you know what I mean? They happened when I was, 16, 17.
Right.
And I can remember I was on a holiday, some holiday with a mate of mine, and Dave, and we were coming back, and we're on the ferry coming back from France. And for whatever reason, the TVs were in cages on the ferry. I don't know why.
Probably after Oasis smashed a bunch of them up and
running around the ferry.
Yeah.
And Live Forever was on the video was on the screen. It was Liam sat on the chair on the wall.
Yeah.
And I was just, I really remember it vividly and thinking, who's that? What? Why is he sat on a chair? And just, and then also being from Manchester, you know what I mean? It was like at that age.
Yeah.
I was almost a bit too young. I just missed out on the Roses and Happy Mondays and all of that. So, you know, I caught the tail end of that and the Hacienda. But then, you know, Oasis was sort of ours and
yeah.
It happened. We were right. We were teenagers and it was our sort of music. Do you know what I mean? And it was just so cool to be around at that time and to be, as I say, from Manchester. And I moved to London when I was sort of 19. But again, it gave you an identity. You're from Manchester and if you were a bit of a lad, you know what I mean? It was like,
yeah.
There wasn't anybody like that before. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we've had people on here from, you know, different parts of the country sort of saying that, you know, if someone was from Manchester, you'd be like, oh, you're from Manchester, wow.
Yeah.
And it kind of had this air of like, wow, like, you know, if someone had turned up in like 1993 from Seattle, you'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, you're from Seattle, you know Kurt Cobain. But it really was like that with people from Manchester, yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah, cool. And so it's an interesting one. So the film starts with the end of Oasis, right? You know, and you know, you've got great footage there from that festival in Paris that they played of, you know, the on stage, the guy, you know, that French guy on stage saying that they've had a big fight and it's over.
Fortunately, Liam and Noel Gallagher just had a huge big fight together in the dressing room.
I mean, was that a deliberate choice of like, right, this is the, we're going to start at the end, basically?
Well, I mean, again, that was the one thing, when we sort of got the cut, we had a sort of rough structure. And only there was a lot of talk about how it should start and what it should be, and that's, you know, basically Gavin Fitzgerald helped us at the end of it. He helped with that and moving things around and sort of, you know, because it's like when you're so close to something and you've worked on it for such a long time, it sort of was nice to have sort of a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
And who had no sort of connection to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that it actually became very obvious, do you know what I mean? In terms of that's because also that's where my journey really began with it. Because
right.
I was with Kasabian on that last Oasis tour, filming them, and that's how that was partly how we became a lot closer. And then, obviously Oasis ended and because I'd been working with Paul McCartney and doing stuff with him, obviously Liam knew me socially but not in a sort of work capacity.
Right.
He was told I'm doing McCartney and different things, and so I got the call going, can you come in and meet Liam and BDI to talk about doing the video for Bring the Light?
Right.
And that was the first sort of professional sort of thing that I did with him. And then it just went from there. Then I was doing the documentary about the album, then the other videos, and then like Pretty Green was all kicking off, so I was doing all the adverts for that and all like the sort of behind the scenes sort of doco stuff and
sure.
just generally just sort of trusted me, and just it just sort of began there, really. You know, so literally my journey started from that moment almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And then, and one of the things I really like about the film, because I was wondering how BDI would be covered, because ultimately, yeah, you know, some people absolutely love BDI. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that's what I mean. I think that, you know, I think the records that they made and the stuff we did together, I'm really proud of it. And I mean, like Bring the Light, for example.
Yeah.
It's such a kid. It's an amazing track, but you compare that to the first single off Noel's last record, you know, with the flute.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember what it's called, but, you know, you look at that next to Bring the Light.
Yeah.
And actually, they're in a similar sort of vein. It's just that Noel's track came out 8 years later or something.
Yeah.
People weren't ready to hear that straight after Oasis. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And I think you cover it in the doc, but, yeah, you know, maybe there should have been a break. You know, I think the fact it just went bang straight into BDI, and Noel's, there's a great, you know, you've got like a withering kind of one-liner from Noel where he talks about, you know, well, yeah, it wouldn't work, would it? Look at BDI and you just think, Noel. You know? Bloody hell. But I was pleased, because if you're going to do a comeback story, right, then there needs to be a low point. But yet BDI, you know, in my eyes, a lot of people's eyes, wasn't a low point. BDI was really good.
But it was building, wasn't it, to the low point? It was just something that, you know, whatever, it was the press or whatever, they just didn't want it to work.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't want it to work. And then, you know, it... But again, with hindsight and all of that lot, you know, any sort of journey that you go on, you have to go through it all.
Mm.
It just, I don't know, it just didn't connect, and it was, but I think it was meant to be that way, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you've got to go through a journey, and like last night you played at the
Hackney.
The chapel thing in a chapel, you know, it was just, you know, you can see he's just back to being massive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I love Shockwave, I think it's amazing, the new single, and I just, you know, it's just, it's quite, but in some ways, there's no difference than what it was in BDI, do you know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think a lot of those...
Everyone else has caught back up with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of it is down to, you know, is down to the marketing. Is it even things like in BDI, Liam's got the long hair, he was wearing a lot of like designer outfits, you know, he looked all parts the rock star a lot of that time. He's obviously rocking a lot of Pretty Green throughout that time, and he just came across as quite surly. He's doing interviews sat there with Gem and Andy, who are both quite quiet, and then so it was just, it felt that air of kind of negativity around it often in interviews, and he was coming across quite aloof. Whereas whether that's Debbie's influence now, or whether it's Warner or whatever reason, as soon as he's come back, he's got the short hair, he's wearing parkas, and it's just like he's so much more approachable now, and it's just that there's such more of a positive air about everything he does.
Yeah, but the thing is with Liam and all of it, none of it, you can't say that it's someone's marketed that, or someone's, you know, gone, oh, let's have a great, I've got a great idea, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's sort of, it's just how he was. I think that after everything imploded, and there was a really interesting thing. I remember the bounce for me, there was a Q article, you know, when he came back after it was around the time of Supersonic.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, he had nothing to hide. He'd been through it all, and he was just completely honest. Didn't shy away from anything. And that for me was the bounce of him coming back, and the beginning of it all, where you got this article of where people, where it was just, it was starting to be positive rather than trying to knock him down or be negative. And because I guess he'd been knocked down so much, so much stuff had happened, that you have the bounce, don't you? You have the begin, and everyone loves a comeback, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things about one of the things I thought was an interesting choice in the film, this might be more Gavin's world than yours, is that, you know, there's certain bits and pieces where you'll, so for instance, this talks about this kind of low point where he's really struggling, and he, him and Bonehead and Bod go off to Palmer, and obviously you haven't got footage of that, right? So what do you do? How do you do it? And so you've obviously dropped in little bits, and then and dropped in there is there's the little clips that Liam put on Instagram last year where he's like day one off my coconut, day two, and it's like, and as a complete Uber Oasis geek, I'm like, hold on a minute, that wasn't from Palmer, that's from Thailand last year.
Day one off my coconut. Day two off me fucking coconut. Day three, still off the coconut. Day four, off the fucking coconut. Day five, off the coconut. Still off the fucking coconut.
It's funny, isn't it? Because obviously the Oasis fans and people who, like you say, because that's the thing with Liam, so the fans are just, the proper diehard fans are lunatics, you know what I mean? When God's like, they consume everything, and it's like, even if they're like, hold on a minute, that wasn't that, how is that? But like I said, I think it's, you're telling a story, you know what I mean? And you need something to illustrate it and to sort of make it work in regard to give you the tone and the feel of where someone might, you know, what was going on, you know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think it's a nice technique. Something that's similar. Yeah. Matt Whitecross did the same thing in Supersonic. In that,
exactly. I mean, it's been done a million times before. It's not like, you know, invented anything new. It's just it's the way that, unfortunately, you haven't got a camera there constantly filming, so you need something to help illustrate a scenario.
Sure, sure. One of the things that I need to ask you about, and obviously this is probably the biggest thing in the making of the film, and when people go and see it, one of the things that I think will stand out is there is no Oasis music in this film. Can you talk about that?
It's like, you know, obviously the reason that happened is obviously Noel has to publish it for the music, so you can't do anything commercially without getting it approved by Noel.
Yeah.
So he denied us, you know, access to it or you know, the usage of it. But in the long run, I'm really happy because it shows that Liam is bigger than it all, you know what I mean? And actually, I think that the thing is with it is that because it's become a big thing now, and everyone knows about it, there's no Oasis music in it, you know what I mean? If you didn't know, When we first showed it to a few people, and they came out, and I was asking them straight away, what did you think of the film? And they're like, wow, it was amazing, and blah, 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 and love this, and love that. And I'm like, and I said, did you realise there's not one bit of Oasis music in it? And they were like, oh, wow. yeah. You know, because you're so caught up in the story and the way that it sort of comes across, and actually the musical choices and the things that are in there are really sort of not what you'd expect for do you know what I mean? For a Liam Gallagher film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that, but I think in doing that again, it made it more filmic and made it more like a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it would have been obvious in some ways to put Oasis music in parts. And, and so in using sort of more ambient sort of piano stuff and mood building music, it makes it a lot more, it makes you feel a lot more.
I agree, Yeah, there's like Mazzy Star and the things like that I noticed on the soundtrack. So it's a really good soundtrack.
Exactly, which is that's fucking brilliant, that track.
And, yeah.
We actually, I think they had a good try to use I'm Out of Time, but it just didn't because obviously we could have used that, but I don't think it just didn't work. It didn't have the same sentiment.
I suppose that's the thing, because Oasis is gone, right? And so the story is Liam's story. It's not the Oasis story now.
Yeah,
so.
But another thing as well, I wasn't interested in making an Oasis film or Supersonic 2 or, you know, any of those things that I think a lot of people immediately would think that this film is. And that's why the thing is that actually, if you're not an Oasis fan, you know, I think you'll really enjoy this film, you know, just as a purely human level story.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I'm really proud of that, and I'm really sort of pleased that, you know, I've done a few different interviews along the way, and different people have seen it, and just how surprised people are.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, it's really good. And he goes, you know, we've seen Supersonic and we've seen all these things, and it's like, do we need to see any more of Liam Gallagher? And he was like, well, actually, we do. You know, there's obviously a lot more to be told. And I think, like I say, it's like, the way I see him and the way that I see the people that I work with, it's very important to me that I've got to find something in them that I not only admire professionally, but also personally, and have to have a relationship with them, really, for it to work.
Yeah.
Because I like, you know, I need to see something that I really like in a person for all their, you know, character traits. And I think that, and I think, like I say, you're not going to be disappointed coming out of this film. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the I mean, if people are still on the edge of whether they go and see this, the one thing I'll say, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this yet, but there is, we do hear a Liam Gallagher new unreleased song at the end, right? You hear a bit of the recording of it. It's called Once. Yeah. And then over the end credits, it plays out. Jesus, what a song that is, man. If that's not a single off this album, I'll be very surprised. That is awesome.
I mean, he first played me that. We were in LA, backstage in LA, after the gig, and we're having a drink in his dressing room. He's like, oh, Charlie, you want to play this jam? So we went into the bathroom, he shut the door, it's just me and him in the bathroom, while the sort of after party's going on. He gets out his phone and puts it on speaker, and we sort of, like, bent over his phone listening to it, do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, my God, and it's like, and obviously everyone will, and exactly how I feel, it sounds, you know, it's the sentiment of it, it's to me, it's him singing it to Noel, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that everyone else think that, and, you know, it's just, it just shows, like with Shockwave as well, it's like, just, it's gone up a level, I think.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And it's, and one of the things, like, you know, obviously a big issue in the last, whenever Liam comes back, and it's come out now, especially in the online Oasis fandom, it's very much split between, you know, people that, like, the Noel fans are typically like, Liam doesn't write his own songs, and they slag him for that, right? Whereas...
I think that's what, there's a line in the film, Christian, the keyboard player, says, he goes, I think that Noel, at the end of the day, overestimated the power of the music and underestimated the power of Liam. And it's like, and then he goes on to say, people don't want to be Noel, they want to be Liam.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I love Noel, I think he's a genius, you know what I mean? And I think that, yeah, I've actually made a film about him. Have you seen that? Have you seen the
Which
film
one?
On Netflix?
Yes. Oh, well, no, because, well, I didn't see all of it because it never came out in the UK. It was only ever on the US Netflix.
Isn't it? But I directed that.
Yeah.
And the thing is with the both of them, it's like you've got the genius of the songwriting, but like it's sort of said in the film a bit, but like one of Liam's amazing skills is the fact you can give him a song that he's not written it or whatever, but he reads it. And in that moment, he knows exactly what it means to him, and he'll sing that, and then you'll believe it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's a skill.
Mm. But what...
Do you know what I mean? And I think that can be underestimated. The thing is that I think it's really, he came out in the Q interview saying that Noel wrote him, he sung them, but they're the fans. They're the fans, though, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the fans' music.
Yeah. No, and I agree.
I think that's what it is. You know what I mean?
But it's also, and this is fascinating, when people have, you know, as I say, the people that have sort of slagged off Liam have kind of given this impression that, you know, there's these, whether it's Andrew Wyatt or whoever these genius songwriters are, it's like he's just shipped in for 10 minutes, does his vocal and buggers off. That's not true. And I really like the fact that you see that in the film. You see him, he's in there, he's actively working on it and saying, no, you do this, you do this. He's directing a lot of this, you know what I mean? And so I think he's, and I'm really excited for people to see that.
But, you know, it's not like these people have just written the songs and the song that's co-written.
Yeah.
Because he's writing lines, he's bringing things and this and that, and that's on the ones that he's co-writing. Like, I've been a thing on As You Were, you know, there's 9 of them or whatever that he wrote himself.
Yeah.
One else. And actually, for me, like Greedy Soul and Bold and All I Need and Never Want to Be Like You, and, you know, to me, they're my favourite tracks on the album, more so than Paper Crown and
Wall of Glass.
Wall of Glass.
Yeah.
I mean, I like those tunes. I like them because I love the record, but my favourite songs on that album are the ones that he wrote.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can hear it's his message, it's his soul. Yeah.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, I just like the melodies and the songs. You know, Bold, for me, is one of my favourite songs
that
he's done.
Yes, I know I've been wrong. I didn't do what I was told. Yes, I know you saw so. You didn't do what I was told. I ain't looking for you.
And no one can say that was written by one of those guys because we've got the footage in the pub, right? So
yeah, completely. No, exactly.
So if you want to timestamp that, you know what I mean? There you go. Yeah. He's written that one himself. You can guarantee that. But cool. I'll tell you what, Charlie, have we got some time to jump into some listener questions? How are you doing?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good. All right. I'm going to... what have we got? All right, well, we will address this. It kind of, you know, it's my least interesting question, but everyone asks it. So Ian Davis asks, do you think Oasis may one day do a reunion?
It'd be amazing. I'd love them to do it, but I've said this quite a few times. I just want, more than anything, I just want them to be friends and just to get on, you know, away from it all. Even if no one ever knows, you know what I mean, that they sort of are friends again, and that would be really nice, you know. If we don't get it, obviously everyone would love for it to happen and it to be, and it'd be amazing. The show would be unbelievable, you know what I mean? And you know, but first and foremost, the biggest thing is I just hope that they, you know, sort it out between themselves.
Yeah, cool. Kim Murray, who's at Chief Ruler, said, "Did you have a storyboard in mind before as you went along, or did it just organically happen as editing?" And seeing the final product must be very rewarding. What's your favourite moments included in the film or outtakes?
Well, I think when you're making a documentary, you think that it was like everything that was doing, especially sort of with the comeback bit, it was like it happened in bits where you sort of, you're in the studio, you know, first of all, he's texting me demos or things and like, wow, this could be great. And then you're in the studio going, wow, this could be great. It's like building blocks. And you sort of getting excited, but you don't get too excited. And then we did like the rips and the underplays, and then it was Glastonbury, and then it was Japan, and then it was, you know, and it just was, it felt like there was a movement and there was a thing happening. And then with the history of it all, it just felt so special, you know what I mean? And my favourite scene is the bit in San Francisco when we run across the bridge, when we got up really early. And it was me and him, and then Debbie was there and Amy behind us, a bit further back. And but it was just an amazing moment, you know what I mean? To do it, two, to do it with him, three, to be filming him, and the fact that the light just came through at that time and we stopped after halfway across the bridge, just me and him, and he's just like, this is what it's about, Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's...
Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, it's tricky with Liam because he's not going to give you an eloquent 5-minute soliloquy with bloody, you know, callbacks to Shakespeare and stuff, is he?
Better at it, though.
Yeah, but no, he does. He still gives you. But I think when he says things and then he'll look at the camera or he'll look at, you know, you off camera, you know, with those eyes, and you're like, wow, it, you can feel it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that and being in the house as well, you know. Yeah. To actually be allowed in the house.
Yeah.
Sort of, and he takes me into the room and you go, God, you know, to be in the room and you think, going back to being a fan, you know what I mean? And being like, wow, you know, this is it. This is where it happened, you know what I mean? This is history. This is, you know. And then I ask, but that's what I mean. That's what I say to him, you know. It's a shame you're not talking to him. And he's like, well, he's not the Waltons, is it?
I know, I like that. I love that.
There's a lot of moments, cool.
So we've got Ryan Harvey, who's at the Harvey Boys, said he asked about the whole Oasis music copyright thing, which we talked about, but the one point when I did feel that, and Brian mentions this here, how gutting not to play a One Love Live Forever snippet, and that was,
that was the only thing that we asked for.
Yeah.
And he said no to that. Which I thought was like, mate.
Yeah. That does feel, you sort of think, oh, you know, that's the one point where you think it should be there, you know, but ultimately, you know, it's fine. Dan Best, are you aware that Liam's currently having any sort of vocal training, like singing lessons, or is he just sort of keeping it going?
I've never heard any of that. Don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Because I like, you've got the bit where he's doing the steam sort of treatment, isn't he, to keep the voice going, and you know, and I suppose that was the thing. A lot of us.
McCartney does that.
Is that? So you got that idea from McCartney for him?
Well, we were talking about a few things, and I said that's what McCartney does. One of the things he does a steam and a thing, and I mean he's done it before.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's when, because we had a lot of problems, you know, with throat, you know, his throat infection and sinus problems and stuff, because he's got this, you know, like he talks about in the film, he's got a
thyroid problem. Yeah.
So he can get hoarse quicker than most people, and he's got to be careful with it, do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Lila95 says, what's your favourite Oasis song?
I think my favourite song is Live Forever, and because my son's nearly six, and he loves Oasis. He loves Liam.
Fantastic.
He absolutely, and he knows all the words to all the songs. And I took him to go and see Liam, and Liam let us watch the show from the back of the stage with him on my shoulders. And he just was buzzing the whole time and singing like every word. And
wow.
I mean, there's lots of times I've sent him like videos of him being. I've texted Liam, Jack, sort of. Standing at the mic, putting his arms behind his back, singing all the songs, and like, you know, and it's just amazing that someone that age can, because obviously I've played it a lot,
but then
it gets to the point now we're in the car and I'll try and play something else, and I'm like, nah, just put Oasis back. But again, I love Wonderwall, because Wonderwall, purely on the fact that I was holding my son when he was born, and we'd just come home, and I was playing some music, and Wonderwall came on.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, that song took a completely different meaning to me, and, you know, like, he was my Wonderwall, or, you know what I mean? It was like, it became something way more than it being an obvious, you know, all the Oasis fans hate people say that it's like Wonderwall as a song, you know what I mean? Because it's like the obvious sort of choice, but it's more the what it means to me now because of that moment. But again, I love the Shock of the Lightning. I love, like, you know, I'm Out of Time is amazing. I love what's the one where they both sing Let There Be Love. Yeah, that's one of my favourite songs.
Cool. Dave Dugan asks, did you guys record the full Finsbury Park show? Any chance this will get an official release?
I don't know. I think so. You have to wait and see.
Wait and see. All right, cool. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So, Terry Appleby here at Stelly1274 said, ask him if Peggy is sick of all the shit between them and does she ever feel stuck in the middle? And I'll just say quickly, I think Peggy is the... if there's an Oscar for supporting actress, it goes to Peggy in this. She's fantastic. Do you want to talk about doing the filming with Peggy and Jean and Lennon and even Molly as well? It was really nice to get that family dynamic in there.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But like I said, I just think it all had to be in there, didn't it? Do you know what I mean? If you're going to make that film, it all has to be in there. And I think that he knew that, and that's what we tried to do, really.
His kids were there. He wanted to do them proud.
Family is everything to him. I'm proud of him. He never changed, because he is who he is.
So we've got the cinema release. Go out and see it tonight if you can.
Tonight's the cinema release, but we get the...
with the special performance, yeah.
Cinemas over the weekend, I think, and then it's out on DVD on Monday.
Fantastic. So we've got to get on it. But brilliant, Charlie. Thank you so much for your time, mate. Yeah. Much appreciated.
That's cool, man. All right. I hope you enjoy the film, and it was amazing to meet you.
All right, so thank you very much to Charlie for doing that, and thank you to DDA, the PR company, and Altitude for letting me speak to him and letting me have a watch of the film before any of you lot did. Ha ha. Anyway, so yeah, it's a great film, and if you can, get out there and see it. Support Liam, support the guys this weekend by going out and seeing that film. And yeah, you can then get it on digital download and DVD, Blu-ray, but get on it. And it's fantastic. And as I say, especially to hear that new song once, it does sound really, really good. So, right, well, that'll do it for today. We will be back very shortly with more Oasis podcast, including a full review of Shockwave, full review of Noel's show at Heaton Park, and a few review of the film, and all kinds of other stuff. Right, good. What do I normally say? I say, yeah, that's it. I say, as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.